All right, we're back. This is Who's Talking, segment three tonight. And how fitting, we have none other than number three, Jeff Lamp, joining us. And it is always a pleasure to have
What do they say? Number three in the program, but number one in your heart.
That is correct. Yeah. Is one of my classmates, along with good old Lee Raker and Terry Gates. What a great time to have been at UVA. And
although I was number 33, and I know I'm number one in your heart.
That depends. That depends when you show up, Hobbo. It's when you play defense, Hobbo.
That was rare. That was rare.
All right. Well, without further ado, Jeff Lamp, there's about 1,000 nice things you could say. I think a couple of key pointers that must be said. He scored 2,317 points as a Cavalier. And at the time when he retired from Virginia and moved on to pro basketball, that was number one in the scoring records career, only later surpassed by Bryant Stith. Jeff, Barry Parkhill, and Ralph Sampson all were on the 50th anniversary of the ACC team. And I don't know what more you can say than that. Those are incredible superlatives. Anyway, Jeff, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me, and well, I'm not used to having people say such nice things about me these days, so thank you.
Well, every time you come on Who's Talking, you'll get an earful of positives.
Well, but, Jeff Lamp, Jeff Lamp, Barry Parkhill, Wally Walker, Brian Stith.
Buzzy.
Buzzy, I didn't see Buzzy play, but those other guys, if you needed a bucket in the last 5 seconds, they were the kind of guy you wanted the ball in their hands, so... great memories of the Jeff Lamp years. Clearly the high water mark of Virginia basketball, although Tony Bennett is starting to threaten that. You got to feel pretty good, Jeff, about the success Tony's having in Charlottesville.
You know, it's been so much fun to watch. Unfortunately, living in Los Angeles like I do, they tend to favor putting UCLA on TV out here, so I don't get to see Virginia a lot. But what I have seen has just been, it's exciting, but just love the way these guys play and the way they get after defensively. And, back in our era, comparing the teams, we were kind of an offensive juggernaut with Ralph in the middle. But these guys, they just get after you defensively. So it's fun to watch as a fan.
You know, I think one of the things that I think Lee Raker and Jeff Jones and Terry Gates and Ralph and Craig Robinson, who I just talked to the other day, all these folks that are coming back for the Ridley fundraiser that's coming up on Saturday night, October 10th, over here at the Virginia Historical Society. They have to love the way that as a team, Virginia knows exactly what they're doing on both ends of the floor. And it's the guys that come off the bench, they know their role. You know, the water boy knows his role. The trainer knows his role. Everybody knows what they're supposed to do, and they all pull together, and you never see anybody out of sync for more than 5 seconds. Tony Bennett, he gets them right back in line. But Jeff, talk a little bit about some of the things that you're doing today out there in L.A., and let our listeners know what's going on out there.
Well, I have been for, I guess it's gone on 15, 16 years now. I've been working for the National Basketball Players Union. So depending on what side of the table you sit, I'm either the good guy or the bad guy. But most of my work is primarily with the players. So I do a lot of work one-on-one with the players. And the focus of the program I'm involved in is just basically helping guys prepare for their lives after basketball. And, you know, I can say now I've had I had a nice long, relatively long NBA career, 4 years in college. But the life that I've lived after that has been, four or five times that in length now. So we just really focus on trying to help the players take advantage of their time in the NBA and be able to step off the court into something that they like to do and hopefully is going to be lucrative for them and not have to go through, I guess what the stereotypical struggle would be for players. But like I said, I've been doing that for about 15 years now. It's been real rewarding and keeps me in the game and keeps me young, too, working with all the young players.
Yeah, I don't think, Jeff, I'm trying to remember. I know I saw you at the ACC 50th reunion gathering, and as Frank mentioned, you, Ralph, and Barry were on that team. At the time, now that's about 10 years ago, but at the time it looked like you were still ready to play at any point in time, in great shape, and I'm sure you still are. And you talk about your team clearly there were some terrific offensive players, but Coach Holland, he liked you guys to play defense as well, didn't he?
Well, he did. I can't say we always wanted to, but the nice thing for us was having Ralph back there. You know, at 7'4" and athletic and long as he was, we actually could gamble a little bit more. We could try to funnel people into the middle and just kind of, you know, let them deal with Ralph if they did get there. And he was great at kind of cleaning up our messes. So it was good for us. We could be a little bit more aggressive, like I said, out on the perimeter. We could trap a little bit more. And we always, one thing I will say about Coach Holland, we were always really prepared going into the games. We'd done a lot of scouting work and would walk through their plays and so on beforehand. So that was a big advantage as well.
What's the difference college basketball today versus, it's hard to believe it's been 30 years ago since you played, but that length of time, what's the difference?
Well, I hate to age myself, but believe it or not, they did not even have a three-point line when I played. So, you know, the just offensive strategy was much different. The way they, though we did space the floor out like they do now, and with Ralph in the center or down low, you know, the idea was to get it into him and then kind of wait for the double team. Either he could go to work, or if he did get doubled, to pass it out, which is a lot of what goes on right now. But back in our day, aside from that, most college teams did some sort of passing game or had a lot more set plays. And these days, of course, there's a three-point line, like I said, but just the way they run offensively, there's a little bit more motion in terms of getting the ball from side to side and then trying to take advantage of mismatches and open three-point shots.
You know, this has something to do with the NBA as well, but how much of an impact is the one-and-done situation of today's college? You know, back when you played, guys, you know, it's hard to believe Ralph Sampson played 4 years of college basketball. That's unheard of these days for a guy of that talent and your talent as well. So how much difference does that make?
Well, it's at least from the NBA standpoint, it's been these days the players that are coming in, you know, if you're not a first five, maybe 10 pick, guys with not much experience, they're considered projects. So they're drafting on potential now, which they did some back in my day, but by and large, players, if they had played 3 or 4 years, you pretty much knew what you were getting, and they were a little bit more seasoned and developed in their games. So these days, NBA teams a lot of times are just picking on talent, and they can go more with someone who physically may be, you know, talented and have opportunity or have abilities, and then look to try to develop those. And then also with the D-League, you know, they can send players there and let them go most of the season, bring them back and forth, and just give them some opportunity to get good minutes during the season and then develop and still have opportunity for them to play in the NBA games.
And, Jeff, when are you coming into Richmond, on Friday?
I actually get in Saturday morning and really excited to take part in this event and actually feel honored to be a part of it. But I will be in Saturday morning, going to be there for the event Saturday night. And unfortunately, because the NBA season is starting, I have to get back on Sunday.
Wow. That's a quick turnaround. Although I know Terry Gates is going to bear hug you when he sees you. And I know that I think Othell Wilson's going to be there. I think Craig Robinson is trying to get there. I've heard Ralph is going to be there. Let me think. Maybe Ricky Stokes also has confirmed, and I think maybe even T. Holland will be there. So I know there are more, but off the top of my head, I think all those folks are going to be down there at the Virginia Historical Society. And I know that folks can still get tickets if they go to the UVA Alumni Association site and click on Richmond Club. I think if you type in Ridley at the University of Virginia, you can go to that site to buy tickets. And there's a lot of ways to just go online and buy your tickets. I think it's going to be a great time.
Yeah, support. Well,
I'm just truly excited to be a part of it. And like I said, I was honored to be invited. So I just, you know, would encourage as many people. A lot of people from that team, as you just mentioned, will be there. I think even Jeff Jones may be there, assuming he can get away from his coaching for the evening. But looking forward to see everybody. But then also just looking forward to, you know, kind of publicizing this event and the cause. What they are doing is such a great thing, and being able to provide opportunities for students that need it.
Well, you couldn't have said it better. again, just to remind folks, the unofficial title of the event is Remember the Titans, and it's a reunion of sorts of the 1980-81 UVA men's Final Four basketball team gathering at the Virginia Historical Center Saturday, October 10th. That's this Saturday. It's a 6 to 8:30, 9 o'clock sort of thing down at the Historical Society, and it'll be a lot of fun. I'm sure you will enjoy seeing everyone. I know the greater UVA alumni fan base will be there, and it should be a blast, and it all for a good cause to raise money for the Ridley Scholarship Program.
Well, like I said, I'm very excited to be there, and you know, I just would encourage anybody who can partake in it to please do it, and as you just said, it is for a great cause.
Well, Jeff, I'm sure they appreciate your flying across country to be here. Look forward to seeing you on Saturday night. Thanks for all your contributions, and we'll hopefully have you back on the show during the basketball season so we can get your assessment of how the Hoos are doing this year.
Okay. Well, thank you for having me on. I'd love to be back.
Very good. Thank you, Jeff. All right. We're going to head to break really quickly and come back on the other side with Dr. Jody Smith so we can give him a little bit of time because the injury situation is fairly complicated for the Wahoos. So stay with us. This is Who's Talking, and we'll be back in a moment for the fourth segment.